It's Nordjork Arts 10th anniversary. Nordjork Arts is celebrating a decade filled with tremendous growth, strain, and success for the organization. With hundreds of programs produced, artists hired, partnerships formed, relationships built, and community members served. So, how did Nordjork Arts become what it is today? Join us as we talk to 10 of NYS most influential supporters to learn the story of our organization. We are so excited to share this milestone with you. Here, our host, Julian Carvajal.
So, Melissa Foster, thank you so much for accepting this invite to be part of our podcast for the celebration of our 10th anniversary with Nordjork Arts. We're very excited. And of course, you needed to be part of this podcast because we have so much to ask you and we're very curious about a couple of things about you as well. So, Melissa, what can you tell us about yourself? Who you are? Who is Melissa Foster?
Oh my gosh, I'm still trying to figure that one out. Does anyone have an answer for that? My gosh. I've had an interesting career trajectory, so I suppose that's one thing where I have gone in different directions, and I think that that's part of who I am. I sort of have this thing where I've hit this point in my life where I actually feel like kind of coming into a place of knowing a little bit like who I am and who I'm going to be. But I've noticed I'm more the person I was as a child, getting much more into nature again. I was so into nature. I was so into gardening, like sewing and needlework, painting and drawing and like writing and all of these things. I feel like I'm sort of coming back to that a little bit more now, whereas when I was in my 20s, I was trying on all sorts of different hats. So career-wise, I worked in social services, I was working in theater, I was backpacking, I was teaching. I did a ton of different things during that time. And I was also like, you know, I wanted to go out dancing until 4 a.m. and I wanted to go see music concerts and do all of this. And sort of as I went through my 30s, I found I was still doing some of that, but it sort of started to get replaced a little bit more with like wanting to go to bed earlier and like doing things more at home and kind of finding my own little projects and getting back into that kind of stuff. And so it's been this interesting thing where I sort of see myself kind of coming back to who I was as a child, but spent many years kind of just figuring that out. And I think that that's kind of a little bit of who I am.
Nice, nice. So that's a good segue because I would like to ask you about your connection with Nordjork Arts. How was it? When did you hear about us?
So I actually, in one of my transitions, when I decided that my time working in social services had come to an end, I was, you know, feeling pretty burnt out. I needed a bit of a switch. I knew I wanted to get into programming. That was something I'd done. I had worked in shelters and supportive housing. And that's something I'd just done on my own there because I felt like it was something that was kind of missing or that the youth were really wanting. And it was something that I really wanted to be engaged in. So I went back to school and I did my postgraduate at Western University for Arts Management, and I got my internship through that program at Nordjork Arts. And sort of the rest, as they say, is history. It was really lucky to come to the organization at a time where they were in a little bit of growth. I started part-time, and then I moved to full-time, and then I moved into a different role. And now, I guess it's 8 years. 8 years later, I believe. If it's not 8 years yet, it's approaching 8 years. You know, I'm still here, and I'm now Program and Outreach Director. It's been a fun ride.
And Melissa, what makes NYA special?
For me, I have to say the staff. I think we've always had a very special staff team. And like as individuals, I think we all bring something to the table. I think as individuals, we're good folks. But it's the way that we've also been able to come together as a team and support one another. And I have to give all sorts of credit to the previous executive director, who was the founding executive director of Nordjork Arts, Lila Kareem, who really nurtured an environment that was supportive and one that wanted to ensure that the staff was growing all the time and being supported both personally and professionally. And I really think that because she modeled that so well from the top, that was ingrained in all of us individually, and we continue to do that with one another. And the amount of professional development opportunities I've been given and the support and encouragement to be able to do that throughout the years, as well as in my own life when my father passed away and other personal things that have come up over the years, to know that like your workplace is supporting you through all of that too. And that if, you know, for me, if I had to run to the hospital to see my dad or something like that there wasn't a question. It was just like, like, you go do what you need to do. And not all workplaces had that. I've been part of those workplaces. I've seen others part of those workplaces. And it really was special to be able to feel that supported. And it makes you want to give back to the organization. I mean, I think that that's really good management too, because you really do, you don't want to let the team down, because they've never let you down.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Very inspiring. What is your vision for the organization?
Well, it's interesting. Right now, it's really just to kind of keep things going and to get us all through the transition. So the transition when Lila left, as well as then a transition to a new executive director, ensure that the staff still feel supported and that we're working within the capacity that we have at the moment. So those are really my priorities right now, is to sort of look at that interim time and ensure that we're keeping afloat in all the different ways, and that no one's feeling too overwhelmed. In terms of my vision for the organization, that both within my previous role and my permanent role, I think what I'm excited to kind of see is in the next 10 years, and it is, part of our strategic plan to find a new home and to be able to have a space and hopefully a programming space of our own. I think what's wonderful that we've been able to do in these last 10 years is build all sorts of partnerships with all sorts of other communities and been able to access space throughout all of North York. I do think that we're at a time and we've sort of grown into a place where it would be really nice to kind of have a little bit of that space of our own, that we can have internal programming, where we can maybe exhibit some work and just a little bit more autonomy in terms of being able to curate that space and what we can do with it, both in terms of an office as well as programming space. So I think that will be a really neat next step for North York Arts, and something that is on the horizon. Not tomorrow or the next day, and definitely something that I hope to be a part of. But I do think that will switch and have opportunities. And of course, we're always going to program throughout all of North York and still keep those community partners. But it'll be nice to have that as well as something that we haven't had before.
Actually, that was one of the questions at the end, which you just answered, which is related to the wishes for the next 10 years of the organization. That's a great wish, and especially having a space and be able to share it with the community, it's amazing. And Melissa, what is the role that North York Arts is playing in the city when we're talking about advocacy initiatives related to the other side of the coin, you know, like the political side of the sector?
Yeah, I think, advocacy is something that I've actually seen kind of increase over the years in our role. And I think it's because of this conversation around programming and having arts and culture outside the downtown core. And it's interesting because North York Arts and the other LASOs, not just North York Arts, but all of the LASOs, the city has changed a lot in the last 10 years. And it's really expanded and it's really developing and growing. And there's lots of pros and cons to that. And because of the expansion, like the physical expansion, the outside the downtown core conversation has just become one that's very popular, I would say. Lots of communities are moving into the more sort of suburban areas of Toronto, and there are certain infrastructure things that haven't quite been able to keep up, which has sort of prompted this conversation around the local and being able to access things locally. And that has put a real hotspot, I think, on what some of the LASOs are doing, and being able to provide some of that community programming, arts programming, cultural programming in people's backyards. And I think in terms of advocacy, as the city grows, like, we all know that things are becoming more expensive in Toronto. It's becoming a little bit harder to live. And that's very true for artists. So part of that work is also looking at, like, we don't want that creative drain from the city, but which we are seeing. And so how can we ensure that we're providing opportunities for artists who live in all areas of Toronto, as well as talking about, you know, pay equity and these kinds of things, which is a conversation that I think is happening across the board in almost all sectors, at least the not-for-profit sector, because of this increased cost of living and the difficulty of living in Toronto now. We are playing a role in that as well.
Melissa, how have you watched the organization grow?
Yeah, well, I guess I came when the organization was about 2 or 3 years old. And, you know, there was 2 full-time staff at the time. I know the organization started with just 1 staff, 1 managing director, and kind of went to a part-time and then full-time, and then I came on part-time. And so really, I've watched it kind of grow from more or less its infancy, or maybe when it was a toddler. I suppose I came in when it was a toddler. And now it's like really finding its feet. And I think that that's one thing with was an interesting time right right now at sort of the 10-year mark with North York Arts is I think we're kind of figuring out like who we are, what some of the roles that we play, a little bit more where we want to go. I think the first number of years, as it has to be, it's like you're just building, like you're building something and you're trying to find all the pieces and put all the pieces together. Whereas now it's like we have the pieces. And we don't quite have the whole puzzle. Like, we have all the pieces and we're kind of figuring it out, but we have that foundation where we can kind of start to really be looking ahead and envisioning like who we are, and all these years before have informed that. And so I think this next 10 years, I suppose it's, we've tried on all the different hats and now we're coming into who we are a little bit more, at least for now. And the thing is I think what's really important is for organizations like North York Arts, that we are always going to be evolving as well. So you have to evolve with the communities, with the times. There's always lots of changes. And so evolution is always going to be part of the process. But finding, you know, we've really been able to find our feet, I think, in the last few years. And we'll really be able to run with that now for the next 10.
Thank you, Melissa. And what are you hoping to see more in the art scene in the city?
That's an interesting question now, too, especially because I guess I'd just like to see the arts kind of be able to get back up and running. What I think, though, some of the things that have come up for this past year with COVID is opportunities for artists to be able to develop their work. We are very focused on performance presentation, and I think one of the things that could really benefit the art sector is a little bit more emphasis on how the production is happening and what supports are being given for production and the facilitation of being able to cultivate the arts. We tend to have this sort of like, we want product now, but the arts need time to live and grow and breathe. It doesn't matter what art form it is. I come from a theater background, and so for me, that makes a lot of sense in that rehearsing scenes and running scenes and characters, it's like you find them, you build them, and it does it a real disservice if you're just jumping in and running. You want the story to unfold, and these things just take time, but they're very expensive. That time is expensive, and artists and arts organizations just don't have that time, and it's hard to get that funded. There are grants through arts councils that fund that, but like sponsors and such, like they want to see product. But if we could shift that narrative a little bit, and both in terms of how we're working within the city and using city spaces or spaces that are in the city, not necessarily city-owned spaces, but to be able to help nurture the development, I think it will do a real service for what the end product looks like.
Melissa, let's play a scenario. I am an artist. I live in North York. I'm new to the city. I have no idea about how to navigate the art sector. How can artists, those artists who are listening to this conversation, who might not have heard before of North York Arts, what is the first thing that they can do?
Well, I would say to just get connected with resources. And that's just not North York Arts, like others as well. So there's North York Arts, there's all the LASSES, there's Neighborhood Arts Network, there's the Toronto Arts Council, Ontario Arts Council, Canada Arts Council. Just really familiarize yourself with some of those staples. And those are just a very small example of some of the organizations out there that are doing work in the city and providing professional development opportunities for artists. And so once you get connected with one, you're going to start to see, even just following their social media, sign up for their newsletters. Feel free to reach out. I think individual organizations on a one-on-one basis, you can share information. There's not necessarily a lot that one can do specifically on a one-on-one, but there's always resources being shared and being put out there via social media, via newsletters. There's lots of workshops that are more than often free. Oh, Working Culture is another one that does a ton of professional development workshops to be able to familiarize yourself. And I've seen lots of workshops out there that are geared towards newcomer artists and being able to familiarize newcomer artists with the cities and the different resources that might be available. So just, you know, arts organizations, Toronto, initial Google search, start to get connected with those ones that are in the initial Google search, and then just keep going and do the workshops, do the events that are geared towards the things that you're interested in. And then from there, you'll sort of start to figure out where you can go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Melissa, last question, the question that you answered before as well. What are your wishes for the next 10 years of North York Arts?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny because when you said it, we'd sort of touched on that already. I was like, oh, I have another thing that's always been in sort of the back pocket, which I think is going to take a lot longer to achieve. We have always sort of had this dream of not just one space, but having sort of hotspot spaces throughout North York. I think North York is very large and the communities are unique. And one of the things that, you know, we've struggled with in terms of it's just impossible with the capacity that we have to be able to reach all the communities of North York or even sort of invest that time so that we're part of a community and working in a way that we would really like to work. And so one of the things that we've often thought is like dedicated staff who might be working in, you know, one particular area of North York. Right now, all the staff is spread out throughout all of North York. But if we had one staff, even a part-time staff, who was doing the outreach and coordinating programs for one or like a few wards of North York versus having to spread out throughout all of North York, has the opportunity to really build those deeper relationships and those deeper engagements with that particular community because it's not being spread so thin. I think that's something that would be really nice that maybe in the next 10 years we can work towards. There's a lot of things that would prevent us from being able to do that right at this particular moment, but it's definitely something that we've always kind of talked about, and as the organization grows and as we're able to grow staff, that's definitely roles that we would be interested in being able to have in the future so that we really feel like we're building a deeper connection with communities.
I love that wish. It's amazing. I hope it comes true. Well, Melissa Foster, Director of Programming and Outreach, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, you can make your donations on our website or through canadahelps.ca.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on our social media and visit our website to learn more about our celebration. Until next time.